Looks like we're underway today. So we're going to be talking about gratitude, as I mentioned earlier. Gratitude is an attitude, and that's how we need to develop it in our life. You know, have you ever had somebody give you attitude? Maybe a kid or something. Maybe you had that happen today. I don't know. I think we all have had that problem in our life. But how about you and I, we give gratitude as our attitude? That'd be a whole different game changer, wouldn't it? You know, if we just could do that. You know, we did a marriage thing here a long time ago, but one thing that stuck out, the speaker said, our response is our responsibility. And really, that's true. It's our response to things that's very important. And, you know, we need to act instead of react. You know, get a plan and start to let that manifest. And, you know, sometimes we just, you know, I found this works well, is to, we just need to thank our way out of a situation. You know, maybe you're in a situation today. Maybe some things are going on in your life that you aren't happy with. Maybe things have been going against you for a while, maybe a short while, maybe a long while. But I do believe there's a power in gratitude to be able to thank our way out of that situation. It all comes down to what our focus is, okay? And what you and I need to do as Christians is that we need to learn how to live thankfully in a thankless world. And that's the important part of what we need to do, because we're different than the world. You know, we've come into the kingdom, we're walking in the light. So the potential that you and I have is far different than somebody who is unsaved, because we have the greater one, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. So I know it gets hard. I know there's always opportunity to get grumpy and to fail. And, you know, everybody's going to have those days. But I do believe that you and I are more than conquerors and we can overcome. We're going to look at a couple passages today. The first one we're going to look at is Psalms chapter 100, verse 4. This is one that we use for praise and worship, you know, and how important it is to get into the flow of worshiping God. How do we approach God? You know, we do it by the blood of Jesus, but here's kind of the attitude that you and I need to have. You know, sometimes we come in, we're sitting on our hands, and we're all pouty-faced, you know, look like we've been sucking on a pickle for hours, you know what I mean? It's just kind of hard to turn that around, but yeah, here's what God says we got to do. David said this, and God spoke through him. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. That's in the New American Standard. Now in the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase translation, it says, enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him and worship him. How many have ever forgotten their password? You know what I mean? Isn't that frustrating? But thank you is the password that'll get us right into the presence of God. Amen? So let's do that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the anointing that's here to break every yoke of bondage on our life. Lord, I thank you that we're more than overcomers. That, Lord, we are the people of God, and that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light to be able to walk in your ways and to be a light unto this world. Lord, help us to let our light shine, especially as we come upon this holiday season, entering into Thanksgiving holiday. And Lord, help us to be a witness to those around us and to people to see the life and the love of God just coming out of us. Lord, right now I yield to your gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to start off here with the word thanksgiving. That's one that we all should know. What I see from this passage is don't hold it in. Let it out. We just got to let it out. And I know there's different personality types. I'm more laid back myself. You know, I could be considered, I'm complicated. I'm extrovert, introvert. You know, I have both things kind of going on in my life. Just depends on the day or the moment. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I know that sometimes, especially starting off, it feels kind of weird, you know, to get excited about God in front of other people. But yet, here it talks about our outward praise of what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I'm not coming here to beat you up if that's not your personality type, but I am challenging you. Take it up at least one degree. Amen? Maybe 2 degrees. Get a little more excited about Jesus. You'll find out it's contagious. It's catching on. And we start to get into that flow of what God's doing. And when we don't hold it in, we just let it out. And then we start to get into that flow of what's going on. You know, this is what I found out in my life, and you can think about this too, is some of the best things we have thought have gone unsaid. Have you ever had great thoughts? I mean, super ideas, or maybe you was going to, you know, thank somebody for doing something, or, you know, I happen to make this mistake in marriage a lot. You know, I think I've told my wife and I've praised her about something, but technically I just thought it. I ought to get partial credit for that. But it doesn't work that way. You have to actually say it. We have to speak it out. Now, you and I both know God can know our thoughts, right? God knows what you're thinking about right now. Some of you look real nervous. No, I'm kidding. But God still wants us to say it. He wants us to speak it out, especially things of praise, and because the idea is, you know, no, words matter to God, and He loves to hear it. He wants to hear how much we love Him. He wants to hear how great He is moving in our life. And I know sometimes, you know, it's hard to maybe find some things in our life, you know, because we break our focus and we get off on the wrong thing. We're going to look at that here in a minute. But, you know, like I said, God knows what's in our heart, but He still likes to hear it come out of our mouth. And that's very important that we start to be very verbal in our worship to God. And there's another thing, too. You know, body language sends a message, doesn't it? You can tell somebody's body language if they're really thankful or not a little bit, if they're, you know, in the flow of what God's doing. And so we need to maybe correct our body language, but I'm mostly working on our mouth today, because I found out in my life that sometimes thank you goes a long way. Have you ever done something for somebody and you went out of your way to do this gesture and they never said nothing? It's like they never appreciated it. Now, we don't do it just to get a pat on the back. I know that. But every now and then, it's kind of nice to hear a thank you. You know, when you do something, if you hold the door for somebody, have you ever done that? Hold the door for somebody, they go marching right on in, never said a word. Well, you know, you can get an attitude right there. That ain't gratitude. But see, thank you goes a long way. And, you know, we need to be people that are willing to thank for things. You know, there's two things I've found that are somewhat important, you know, in our life. And there's a lot of things. But these two things are important, especially with the holiday coming up. Number one is we need to feel appreciative. We need to feel appreciative. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes that's hard to do. I'm a self-achiever, you know, my personality, and I don't need a lot to survive. I mean, but I have to really take time to sit down and think about what I'm thankful for. And I just did a message with the youth last Wednesday, and I just had to really work on some things because I was just going through life. I was just going through the motions. Yeah, I'm glad. And you know what I came up with? I'm thankful for indoor plumbing. You know what I'm saying? That sounds so goofy. But I was a little kid. My grandpa, they didn't have any indoor plumbing. You know, and you go down there to visit, you know, you just try to hold it. You know what I'm saying? You know, you just, I don't know if you've been in an outhouse in the summertime, but yeah, them are nasty. You know, but so I'm thankful for a lot of things. But, I mean, that's one thing just kept popped into my head, you know. I'm so thankful for that, for the times that we live in right now. You know, because we have so many conveniences. But I don't know, like you, I mean, I take them for granted. I do. I just kind of, you know, you sort of expect it. And so, as well as being appreciative, you know, I think there's another need that you and I have deep inside, is that you and I need to feel appreciated. We crave that. that we're appreciated by somebody in our life. You know, hopefully it's your loved one. You know, they appreciate you, all that you do for them. And, you know, and your kids, hopefully they appreciate what we do for them. And a lot of them do, I know. At least they let on like it at church. I don't know what they're like at home. You know, oh, I'm so thankful for my mom. I'm so thankful for my mom. You know, I've heard that in I don't know how many times. They don't really say I'm thankful for my dad too much. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, but, you know, they're so thankful for their mom. And then we talk to their mom and they say how their kid is, you know, kind of irritating them and all this stuff. So I don't know. Maybe they're just making it up. I don't know how that goes. You ever done that? Anyway. So what you and I need to do is we need to learn how to appreciate. We don't, and if we learn how to appreciate, we don't depreciate, we just get better. If we could actually put that on a t-shirt, maybe. Start to be appreciative. You know, nobody likes to depreciate, right? You know, when things start going downhill. But I think, you know, with our mouth and our attitude, we can turn that around. And what happens is the idea is when we focus more on what God has done instead of what he is yet to do, we're gonna live a grateful life. I don't know about you, but sometimes we make the mistake of focusing on unanswered prayers. Have you ever done that? You know, you're praying for something. You're praying maybe for multiple things, multiple people in your life. And then we get so focused on what God is yet to do that we forget what God has already done. I think we need to step back a little bit and start to just thank him for all the good things he's already done, all the answered prayer that he's already done in our life, and kind of focus on that. I think it's going to turn our attitude around. And it's going to help us to get that attitude of gratitude. Because we are so thankful for what God has done. I was just going through a very, you know, I won't say difficult time. I don't know, I was just feeling kind of blah, you know, things, you know, and I was working on this Thanksgiving thing and I didn't feel Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? You know, and we're going to sing a song at the end of service today, and that really broke the dam open in my life, you know, and just started to cry before God, because that song is one that God uses to touch me. And I hope you got one in your life that you can pull out every now and then you need it. Because every now and then we just need a little touch. Amen? Amen. You know, my big thing I'm talking about, I just need a hug. I tell my wife, you know, just messing with her a little bit, because I'm not as huggy a person as I need to be. But, you know, sometimes we just need a little hug from God. We just need God to come and touch us. So I encourage you to kind of find some songs that work in your life and, you know, get all alone and start playing those things and just sing as loud as you can. Amen? And stop focusing on that unanswered prayer. It's okay to keep praying, but, you know, but start to see the good. Now we're going to jump into the New Testament for a minute. Some very usually Thanksgiving scriptures. We're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And it's verse 16 to verse 18. And it gives us some very good counsel here on what you and I can do to be able to live our life, to be able to walk, you know, in the ways of God and the things of God, and to be able to see things start to manifest. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 says, and I'll read from the New American Standard first, then we'll do the Message Bible. It says, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Message Bible says, "Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live." Okay, so here we see some great concepts. Things that we can actually practice in life. You know what I mean? We can actually, you know, participate in each of these things. The first one, it talks about rejoice. That means be cheerful no matter what. You know? That's something that we can practice, the power of joy in our life. See, Bible joy. See, joy is different than happiness. You know, we know that. Happiness is based on a feeling. Joy, you know, Bible joy comes from God, so it's a totally different place it comes from. Because you and I probably search for happiness, and we try to find things in our life that make us happy. And sometimes that's a thing, sometimes it's an activity, sometimes it's a person. But when those things are taken away, I'm not happy anymore. Or maybe we feel let down. But on the other hand, joy, Bible joy, that comes from God. Jesus said he'll never leave us or forsake us, and see, we can always tap into that power of joy. And it's a different source, and it's a different manifestation in our life. And so technically, joy is not based on our circumstances, but on our relationship with God. I do know this, and you can write this down. Whenever I feel my joy start to leave, it's usually because my relationship with God, I put it on hold. I haven't been praying, I haven't been reading, I haven't been spending time with God, whatever the case may be, worshiping. You know, how many know that can be easily fixed? Right? 30 minutes. You know, I don't put a time on it, but yeah, 30 minutes will go a long ways. How many cannot squeeze 30 minutes out of their day? Anybody bold enough to raise their hand for that one? Come on now. 30 minutes. Just spend a little time with God, pick out a couple songs on YouTube, worship songs, and, you know, sing those, prime the pump, you know, like we talk about, and just spend a little time with God. And you'll be surprised how things are going to start to turn around. Like that old saying, that frown's going to turn upside down, right? Because you're spending time with God. See, joy, to me, can be an overcoming force to help us live with gratitude. To get to that place, it's our superpower. Now, I know there's things in life that come against us, and you've heard me talk about these two people. And these two people, you know, I don't think they're in the church anymore. I think they got scared off, but, you know, their names are Debbie Downer and Bobby Bummer. You ever met those two? You know, Debbie Downer and Bobby Bummer. Maybe you work with somebody like that. Hope you don't live with somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's rough. But see, they don't exhibit gratitude. They just focus on what's wrong instead of what's right. And when we get ourselves in that position, that makes it difficult to dig out of that hole. You know what I'm saying? When we allow ourselves for that to manifest in our life. And so what I've found is that our attitude can usually be traced back to our focus. What are we focusing on? Like I said, I know this is a real message. We all go through things in our life. We go through negative times. Maybe it's negative at work. Maybe it's negative in the marriage. Maybe it's negative with the kids. You know, all these things, they come in cycles, don't they? You know, it's just part of, I mean, everybody has to deal with this, folks. We all have these issues that we have to go through. You know, but what I found out is the fact that there's certain things that we can do to overcome that, to be able to turn that situation around. And as you live life long enough and you pay attention, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't cost a lot to pay attention. And paying attention usually pays. But if we can pay attention, you know, this is going to pass, people. This isn't forever. It's just a small little blip on the radar, you know? And we can get better. We can get to the better place if we change our focus. And one of the ways that we can do that is to count your blessings. Has anybody ever done that, counting your blessings? You know, we need to take inventory of life. The Bible tells us to do that several times in Scripture. So when we take inventory of our life, try just counting the good things and leaving the bad things off the list for a change. Try that. I challenge you to do that. You'll start counting your blessings. Things that, you know, you consider a blessing in your life. And start to see those things. You'd be surprised how many things you can write down. Some things that are actually really going good for you. To be able to turn your situation around. Now human nature is that we usually look past the good and just focus on the bad. And it's just the trait of that we've inherited through the curse. That's a curse is what it is. Plain and simple, it's a curse. You know, and it all started back in the Garden of Eden when they partook of something they were not supposed to. And it changed their whole focus when they took their eyes off of God and started to look at stuff, right? And when we get our eyes focused on stuff, then we miss out. We miss out on everything. Everything that God, you know, is doing in our life. So here's how it usually works. You know, we can do 10 things right and one thing wrong, and we tend to focus on the wrong thing. And I'll be honest, us parents do that, don't we? Our kid, they bring the report card home. All A's or B's and one C. 9 times out of 10, we're going to say, hey, what happened with the C here? Instead of saying, wow, great job. Great job on the A's and B's. But human nature, you know, we do that in sports. You know, our kid's out there playing or whatever, and they do a lot of good stuff, and then they make one error. What do we talk to them after the game about? What'd you do wrong there? Well, we just deflated them. Instead of showing the attitude of gratitude for all the things, the good things they did. And then now you can always come back to those things to maybe work on them. But, you know, it's just human nature, and we need to try to turn those things around so we start to practice more of a, I don't like positive thinking as a word, but, you know, the idea of being more, positive in our outlook and more focused on the great things that God can do. Because there's so many things that happen that tries to steal our joy. Now, I had an opportunity this morning. Right off the bat, I show up at church here, and I go over into my office, and feels a little chilly in here. Furnace wasn't working. So that's happened before. So I know to go out and flip the button, flip it on again. Usually it starts, hypothetically, unless I got to do something. I did that. Started up, fired, everything was good. Yeah. I go back inside. The air never turned on. And I go back over there and I hear the motor humming. So, that could be a bummer, right? I could have said, oh man, see, we're leaving out of town on Tuesday. Oh man, you know, why do I have to fix this before I have to leave? You know, I got so much going on right now. But I didn't think that. Maybe it's because I was preparing this message. I thought, well, praise God, it broke down before I left. Because I'd have been gone for 4 or 5 days and the heat wouldn't have worked over there. Odds are it wouldn't have hurt nothing. But then I had to fix it when I got back. So now I got a little bit of time to try to work on it. So it all depends on how you deal with problems. Do I do it right every time? No, I do not. But this is a win for me today. It's a win because my focus stayed on the positive. And especially right before I got to preach, you know, I like to stay a little more upbeat. I don't like to have to deal with a lot of big problems, you know what I'm saying? You know, but God is good. I just believe we're going to get her fixed up and it's going to be all good. Amen? So, the idea then, after rejoicing, is the idea of pray. We can all pray. Everybody can pray. Prayer is just talking to God. You know, prayer should not be our last resort, but our first response. That's how we need to look at it. I know. I've said it myself. Well, maybe we just ought to pray. Just? You know? That should have been my first idea. You know? Well, that should have been the first thing I went to. Because what prayer does, it exhibits dependency on God. And that's what God likes. God likes us to be dependent on Him. He likes us to come to Him. And to me, prayer is not begging for help, but tapping into God's willingness to meet our needs. God's a good God. He's more than willing, more than able, more than powerful enough to meet our needs. But the idea is that, you know, maybe that's why some people don't pray. Some people don't pray because they think God's busy. Believe me, God can handle it. You know what I'm saying? God's a big God. So God's not too busy for you. But prayer and coming to God is not the idea that we're out trying to beg Him and twist His arm to get Him to do something for us. We just pray according to the Word of God. What's the Bible say? That's how we pray. We tap into that. Then we should be grateful, to me, that we have someone that we can ask for help in the time of need. God's everywhere. Anywhere we are, God can be there. Doesn't matter. We have somebody to go to. We're not in this alone. So don't allow yourself to get in that thing that I'm in this alone. And I know sometimes we get those decisions that are very hard to make. Has anybody ever had one of those? You know, what do I do here? How am I going to fix this? You know, just go to God. Just leave it over to Him. If it's something that, you know, is well beyond your capability, you know what I mean, which a lot of things we enter into, just start to get into that level of trust. And God, I need you to move in my life. I need a touch from you. Amen? Then lastly, what we need to get to is the concept of giving thanks. So first we rejoice, get happy about it. Amen? But then we pray, and now out of our mouth, we need to speak it. We need to say it. We start to give thanks. Come to God and ask Him to work through our situation. God, I want you to work through this. Help me to be able to deal with this. You know, help me to have the right attitude. Trust that God can take a bad thing and turn it into a good thing. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things just happen. But what we can do, and all we can do, because it's usually out of our control, is just ask God to turn it around for good. God somehow makes some sense out of this situation. What the enemy has brought in to try to destroy me, God, you turn it around and you use it for your glory to be able to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So to me, to be able to thank God at all times means to need to able to see God working in our life at all times. Just see God working. It's a daily practice, daily habit. You know, we get to the place where we're starting to see God move in our life. You know, sometimes it's incremental. Sometimes it's very big. But we got to be aware of it. We've got to be looking for it. What are we looking for in life? Then the idea of is to get to the place in our life where we live humbly. Be a humble person. You know, when you get rid of the I deserve it mentality, have you ever had that? Or maybe know somebody that has that, they think they deserve it. And what I found is the idea is that, you know, gratitude in our life is just a decision away. That's as simple as this. Everything in life, people, I mean, I maybe I'm too simplistic, but most things are just a decision away. Simple as that. You don't like the way you're thinking? Think differently. Why? That can't be that easy. Well, yeah, it is. Test this when you go home. Try to think at two things at the same time. See if you can. Can you think of two different things at the same time? You can't. There can be only one thing that you're thinking about at that second. You can choose what you think about. Choice is yours. Think on good things, the Bible tells us to do. So that can turn our situation around. Very simple, as we practice that decision away. So gratitude is an attitude that affects our aptitude. It affects us in a lot of different ways and how we perceive things around. When you have a good attitude, life is better, isn't it? You know, in your marriage, if you focus on what's wrong in your marriage, guess what? That's all you're going to see. You're just going to see the bad things. But you focus on the good things, well, guess what? That's what you're going to see. You're going to see it being a blessing. And that's how we need to do, because gratitude can turn into a superpower in our life. We all need to have that superpower. And so what I've found is don't wait until you feel grateful, but practice being grateful. Don't wait until you feel it, because feelings come and go, right? Whoops. I had that fixed, huh? So, you know, feelings come and go in our life, you know? And how we do that, we just got to practice the idea of being grateful. So how do you practice gratitude? I'm going to give us a couple little points here. And the benefits of, first, of gratitude. This is why you need to start feeling grateful. First, it improves your health. Did you know that? Gratitude can improve your health. Less stressed out. How many know stress? I mean, we did this in the anxiety class. I think one of the stats that came out was 20% of the people that go to the doctor, their health problem can be traced back to anxiety. Only 80% was actually a physical problem. To me, that's a pretty high number. So if we learn how to deal with that, start to walk in gratefulness, well, that's going to improve our health. It's going to lower your blood pressure. You won't be on all stirred up all the time. Helps to sleep better. I mean, these are just really good things. Helps deal with adversity in a better way, because we all have to deal with adversity. And then it also helps us in our relationships. You know, we want to have strong, healthy relationships. So I'm going to give you a little bit of assignment here as we close. How to practice gratitude. And that means you have to take some time for personal reflection. Okay? So this is something that we did the other night with the kids. First one, I want you to think of something you are grateful for. Think of something that you're grateful for. Then, think of someone you are grateful for. A person, not God. An actual person that's here on the earth now. And lastly, think of something you're grateful to God for. And what I found out with the last one, most of the answers were not personal when it came to God. They thanked God for stuff instead of thanking God for the relationship that they had. So how important it is for us to change the idea of God just being somebody we go to get stuff, but somebody we go to spend time with. To build a level of intimacy is very important. Amen? And that's going to help. So that Bible said that this is God's will for you. Everybody wants to know God's will. At least most people do. You know, oh God, what's your will for my life? Oh God, what's your will? What do I do? Well, this says that if you rejoice and you pray, and you're thankful, that's some of God's will for your life. And what I've found out, that this is part of God's will, and when we do these three things, it's going to become, we're going to become more sensitive to God so that we can do the rest of God's will for our life. This is our part we need to do, and then God reveals it to us. See, we make the mistake of thinking God's will is out there somewhere. Oh, it's way over there, God's will for me. It's so far away, I don't know how to get there. This is what I found out. Living in God's will begins in our heart, then it takes over our mind, and then it manifests in our life. God's will is in you right now. It's there. The second you became born again, in a nanosecond, God imparted his will and his calling for your life. It's been in there all the time. And we need to try to bring it out. Amen? As we start to flow with him and we start to get into the system that God has a different operating system than we're used to. So as we start to walk in that, then we start to see his ways and start to manifest that glory in our life. Amen? All right, we're going to close in prayer.